I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm going to get you high today. Because it's Friday. You ain't got no job. And you ain't got shit to do.
It's the April Fool's Open, where the worst golfers at the ticket drive for oh no's and putt for that blows. Wednesday, April 1st, 3 till 7 at Prairie Lakes Golf Course in Grand Prairie. Brought to you by WorstGolferInDallas.com and Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Jay Alexander Law at 1-800-INJURED wants to take you to a Dallas Stars game. Text INJURED to 22126 now for a chance to win low. Lower level tickets to a Stars game, courtesy of Jay Alexander Law.
Thank you, Peter. We are live here at Choctaw Casino and Resort here in Durant, Oklahoma. It took me an hour and 12 minutes to go door to door here today from my house. And you can come up here all weekend long, check out the action that they have concerning the NCAA tournament and the league sports bar, which is just incredible. From a watching perspective, tons and tons of P1s have come up here and said hello. They're spending the weekend up here, had some birthday celebrations up here, and you can too. It's an awesome place. Very, very short drive. Worth the time, worth the money to come up here. So we were gone the first 3 days of this week because it is one of the spring break weeks, in which I just found out that there's another week of spring break.
Next week, there's some kids locally that are out?
Not locally, but like they do try to stagger them across the country, I think, to avoid just the chaos of travel. And so, yeah, there's certain areas that have their spring break next week and even as late as the first week of April.
Huh.
So depending on where you live across the country. But ours were the last 2 weeks here in Texas. And so my son, my youngest son, who is 16, has been dying to get down to Lajitas. And Lajitas, of course, the magical place that we talk about down there in the Big Bend area, with the number one public golf course in the state, right there in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere. It's still so crazy to go down there and see just how little there is by way of buildings and structures and no billboards, and it's just the desert.
So,
and the mountains.
The allure for him, is it the golf or the hiking or both?
So it's the golf. So he's been trying to get me, because he loves golf, and even though he's the big tennis player in our family, he loves to play golf. And I'm like, Mom, you're never going to come on the December trip because it's like 45 dudes I know and it's just too much. He's like, what about when I turn 21?
Yeah, it's R-rated.
It's very R-rated. He's like, what about when I turn 21? I'm like, no, probably not going to happen, bud. I was like, if you make like National Honor Society or something like that, then we'll talk about going down there. Well, he does that, and so I have to be true to my word. And I'm like, all right, we'll figure out a time for you to go. And it worked out going down there spring break. So Sunday morning we left, whole same thing. It's the charter, JSX flies you out of there. It's the easiest trip in the world, hour flight, get on a shuttle from their tiny airport, 10 minutes away from the resort, and you're on the golf course Sunday morning by 10:15. I mean, it's just total turnkey action, boom, you're there. And so it was just he and I, and it's strange because, you know, since he started driving, and a lot of us were this way. I know I was this way with my family. The minute I actually got a car, I got my sister's hand-me-down car, my parents really never saw me. I just was at friends' houses. I was doing stuff. That's just the way life goes. Once you get the freedom, you exercise that freedom. And I know nowadays it's a little bit different. Kids aren't as free and easy like that and going around and hanging out with friends and just being a social butterfly. But my youngest is that way. He's one of those kids that has just been gone. I'm like, dude, I really haven't even seen you in 9 months at all. Like, I'll see you briefly for dinners and things like that, but you are gonzo. And so we're going to spend 4.5 days together. I was like, you can invite friends and their dads, and we can all hang out and play or whatever. And he's like, no, let's just do me and you. I'm like, okay. I was like, this is 24-7, me and you, all day. And he's like, yep, we're all good. So we play, and we play, and we play, and we play. And part of the caveat was, as much golf as we're going to play, we're also going to spend some time in the park. Because Big Bend National Park is 25 minutes away from La Jetas. It's right there. And it is a staggeringly beautiful drive into the park from La Jetas. He is definitely not my mountain kid at all. As much as I love the mountains, he is...
He's the beach one?
He's the antithesis of that, where he's just like... It just seems like a lot of work.
Yeah.
When you're on a mountain. And the beach is just a lot of relaxation and fun. And he kind of grew up going to the beach. And even though my sister's up in Denver, he never took to it. Never took to skiing or any of that stuff. And so hiking, he's done it, but he does it begrudgingly. And I'm like, we are spending one full day at least in the park. We're too close, and I want to do it. And he's like, all right, that's the deal. That's the deal we're going to make. And I know that, like, Visit Big Bend is a sponsor. They were a huge sponsor of Ticketstock. And I'm not doing a PSA for them or La Jetas at all. But I do want to say it is still 100% the best part of the state of Texas. It's not even close. And I don't even know what to compare it to. I know the Hill Country is going to be number one on people's list. I know the beach, the coastline is going to be number one on people's list. But man, as far as uniqueness, you just can't touch Big Bend. And my parents, yours is probably the same way. My parents, it was not even a thing. They didn't even
know. I don't think my parents knew it existed.
Yeah.
I've still never been there.
I know, and I can't believe you haven't been down there before. It's nothing like anything close we have in this state, and I can't believe it's part of the state. It just so feels like you are in another country, another part of the world almost, and it's Texas. And we ended up leaving on Tuesday morning. We got up at 6. It's pitch black. Woke up, got out of our little cabin down in La Jetas, and we look up, and, I mean, every night walking back to the place, the stars are, it's indescribable how perfect it is down there. And 6 in the morning, it's pitch black, and we were told, like, you need to get there early to the park because there's not a lot of parking out there. You need to get on it. And so we left super early and got there around 7:30 in the morning, and the sun was just now coming up, and we got, like, the last parking spot on the hike that we wanted to do. And we did a hike called the Lost Mine Hike. It's about a three-hour hike overall, up and back. I didn't want to stress him out with something incredibly difficult. And the payoff at the top of this...
Or get lost.
Yeah. And the payoff at the top of this hike in Big Bend is... It's like nothing you've seen before in the state of Texas. It's simple as that. The payoff is huge up there.
It's actual elevation.
Oh my God, dude. I'll show you pictures. It's psychotically cool. But when we got up there, as I said, we got like the last parking spot, and we ended up hiking up maybe a quarter mile. Yeah, look at that one. Look at the depth back there. I mean, it's
like a mini Grand Canyon.
Yes, it is. It's absolutely beautiful, and again, it's just, you don't feel like you're in the state. But we got the last spot, and we realized, I'm like, why are so many people going to this hike this early in the morning? And they were going up there with headlamps on at like 5 in the morning because they wanted to see the sunrise from the top of this hike. It's already the prettiest hike that you have. I can't imagine how badass that must have been for all those people up there to be waiting for the sun to rise above these mountains. And we saw them all coming down as we were going up, and they were just shaking their head like it was, you know, absolutely.
You guys missed it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we got up there to the top super, super early. And so, like, the picture I showed you, the sun is still, like, in the picture. Like, look at how cool that is.
Yeah.
The sun is just still just barely peeking up over the mountains. And there's, on this hike, the Lost Mines hike, there's tons of kids, 10, 11 years old, that are doing it, you know, that are probably bitching their way on the way up. But once you get up there, you're like, wow. Cold as hell. You know, it was in the 40s all the way up there. But, you know, you warm up pretty quick on the hike.
Plus, you guys were shrooming.
Yeah, we were shrooming pretty hard, really hard. But it was a, for me at least, you know, I wasn't skeptical of the trip itself. But I do sometimes worry about the other person that you're with or people that you're with, if they're going to be happy. And I was certainly worried about him being a non-mountain kid. But he did great, and he was overwhelmed by how cool it was at the very top. And then we went around and we explored the park for the rest of the day. And we went outside the park to this little-known area called the Hot Springs, where right on the Rio Grande, there are these hot springs that are basically attached, these natural hot springs, to the river, in which the river itself is 55 degrees or whatever, and then 1 foot over, it's 95 degrees inside the hot springs. And so everybody is in their bathing suits sitting in the hot springs, and the river was cooking right there at this point. Canoes were crossing and everything, and then you could cross over. If you could get there, there's a lot of, like, high school jacked up guys that were walking across and fighting the current to get over. And when you go over, there's a little sign that says, tacos and burritos, $10. And there is a tiny shack, I mean a beaten down shack, that's selling these things if you cross over there. And
is it in Mexico?
I think theoretically, yes, it is. It is. I'm not sure if it actually is, but that's the,
did you see the
that's
wall?
The selling point. Man, so that's another discussion. I know there are people that are just, they're hell-bent on all things that some people are selling them. But the entire battle cry down there is no wall. And it is everywhere. Because do you understand that nobody lives down there? Nobody is crossing down there on the golf course itself in the mountains. If you tried to cross that way, you would die. It's impossible to get through that area. There's nothing there, and they want to build a wall and cheapen up the most beautiful spot that we have in the state. It's everybody that lives down there, whether it's Terlingua or Marfa or whatever is down there on that area. The hats, everybody's talking about it. And, you know, in the end, I don't know if it's going to happen. But to junk up that pretty place with a wall is, it'll make your skin crawl if you're down there. Again, it's hard to describe how pretty it actually is and how ridiculous a wall would be. But, yeah, that's kind of the fight. So, all right, let's come back in 3 minutes because I want to carry this over because we met someone down there. And
yeah.
Oh yeah, and it is,
you guys do a little father son hot spring action.
It is an amazing story, and I want to get your opinion on her lifestyle next. Okay. So telling the story of going to Lajitas and Big Bend with my youngest son for 4 days, and it was an incredible trip. We had such a blast together, and it's good to do things like that with your kiddos where it's just the two of you. You can do something solo with them. And so we made the trek down there. And you know, the plan all along was to hang out at Lajitas, but to spend a couple of days in the park. In the big park, you can go to the state park, which isn't far away, and then the Big Bend National Park, which is 20 minutes away as well. And so we went down there, and Lajitas has cars that you can rent. And so I was just going to go down there and rent a car and take the car to down to the park with my kid. And we get down there, and so we're checking in. I'm like, hey, I need to rent a car for Tuesday. And they go, yeah, it's spring break.
All
and
booked up, bro.
We're sold out. I'm like, oh, my God.
But I'm the snake.
No, I didn't pull that.
Yeah.
Find me a car. So we get to know, you know, I've gotten to know those people at Lajitas over. We've been doing that trip for 10 years down there now. in December for Dallas Dogger, the big charity trip. So I've known these people for a long time, and I saw the head chef. He's like, hey, I heard you're coming down here. And so I'm telling him the story. I'm like, man, I'm really bummed because I really want to go to the park. Don't have a ride. He was like, he's from Slovenia, and he's like, we will find you a ride. I was like, okay. So he texts me, and he goes, hey, there is a girl that works in the golf, down on the golf course, that has never been to the park. She wants to go, and she'll take you. And I'm like, are you sure? He's like, absolutely. She's dying to go. And so, sure enough, we meet her at 6 in the morning at the little bakery on the Lajitas property. And her name's Sarah, 26-year-old girl.
Hey, now.
And stop it. And so she was more than happy to do it because, again, she'd never been there before. And so we're in the car and we're driving there and it's pitch black and we're sitting there talking and I'm asking her all about what she does and her life and where she's from and everything. And, you know, she's telling me she's never been and down there to the park. And I go, well, why don't you just, she's like, what do you plan on doing? I'm like, well, we're going to go on this one specific hike. And I go, I know the payoff is great at the end. Why don't you just come with us? Why don't you just hike with us and we'll just make a day of it at the park? She's like, that sounds awesome. And she was great. And so she's the one that told us about the hot springs that we went to afterwards, which were incredible and completely off the beaten path. I never would have known about that in 1,000 years. But her life is so amazing to me, and she's such a sweet kid. And to hear her tell the story, I'm wondering what you think of this, if you could ever do something like this. So she was like, I didn't really take the college route. I had no interest in doing that. Grew up in California in like the Indio Coachella Valley area. And her parents were both like DAs, like professional people, and she was like, I just didn't really want to go to school, and I kind of wanted to explore. And so it's I don't know what age, maybe 20 or so, she got a job at Yosemite National Park, you know, about 4 hours east of the Bay Area. And Yosemite and Yellowstone are probably the two most famous parks. Yosemite is where
Sam is from.
Yes, yes, that's where Sam is from. anyway, so she worked at the national park there, and she did that for a season or two. And then she went to New Hampshire and worked at a ski resort there. And then she went to Asheville, North Carolina, and worked a season there. Then she went to Missouri in the Ozarks, Branson area, and worked a season there. Then she came down to Lajitas and has worked multiple seasons there. She's leaving in May to go to South Dakota to work up there in that area. And all the while, I'm just sitting here listening to her story. I'm like, this is amazing, like what you do. Again, she's young, 25, 26 years old, and she's kind of canvassing the United States.
Does she have an end game? Like, is she looking for a place where she's like, I could picture myself here for a long-term stay?
No. No, I don't, I mean, it may happen in the end.
When she gets knocked up.
Calm it down.
Good luck with your crap.
But yeah, I think that the end game is whatever she wants it to be. And, you know, my nephew works up there in the Tetons, the Grand Tetons, up by Jackson Hole. And, you know, at first was working like the ski lift up there. And then kind of he did go to college and graduated with a marketing degree and all that. And has worked his way into the actual marketing arm of the resort that he's at now.
Yeah.
Like he has a job now.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that was my question behind the question is, does she want to have a career in the service industry, or is she just living season to season and just doesn't even care?
I think that she's slowly, because she loves photography and you know, the doing all the drone shots and GoPros and stuff like that. And that's kind of what my nephew got into and how he got his gig. He was really good at that, at filming. And I think she would like to take that path from what she was kind of intimating to us. But do you think you would have had the balls?
No.
And, again, we weren't, because I was with you a lot of this time, we weren't wasting our lives, we were, you know, young and working here at the radio station at the time, but would we have been better served to do something like that and explore and really grow up as opposed to just squatting in a big city and just going out and getting hammered? And
yeah.
Not that we didn't have fun, because we did, but there is something to this lifestyle that really appeals to my sense of the wanderlust, you know?
Yeah, I never had that wanderlust until later, because I was always of the mind that you need money to do that. I convinced myself that in order to, at least in my mind, to do it right, you needed money. And so I never even, outside of going to Mexico, I never traveled anywhere meaningfully until I was in my 30s.
Yeah.
I took a solo trip to the UK in the early aughts, and that was the first time I had gone anywhere outside of the North American continent.
Right.
And so I guess I was maybe partly scared, maybe building barriers in my own mind of why I couldn't or shouldn't.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I definitely would not have had the courage, but I do admire it.
Oh, yeah. Again, I was kind of wide-eyed as she's telling her story and how, yeah, in May she's pulling the plug there and going to North Dakota and working in the Badlands and working at some banquet hall as a server or whatever. And she's like, yeah, I've never really seen that part of the country, and I'm really interested in it. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And she's like, and then I'll probably come back here for another season at Lajita. She's like, I didn't really like it at first, but grew to absolutely love, didn't like the area. It just kind of was like, what is going on here? But she's like, after like a month and a half, she's like, oh, I get it now. And just what a special spot it is. And she's like, I always thought of myself as one season there, but I keep coming back. I keep wanting to come back to Lajitas and to the area, because there is such an allure to it if you're there long enough. Because I think it may seem really desolate to a lot of people, and the fact that, you know, there's no school or that's close by for the kids. You got to drive 30 minutes to get to a school if you live in the area, a doctor, you know,
a grocery store.
Yeah, there's just a lot of drawbacks to it. But, you know, she took us to, after we hiked and were in the park all day, we went to Terlingua to a barbecue place that was just kind of the most, like the feel of it. Again, it's a lot like a mountain town, but a lot more desolate and a lot less populated, and a lot, there aren't as many, there's nothing, you know, there's five restaurants in town and things like that, handful of bars, and a few of them are famous, and they have the Terlingua chili cook-off, and if you know about it, you know about it, but if you don't, you're like, what are you even talking about? But that barbecue place was so good and so cool, and something that you picture, you know, Willie and Waylon being a part of, you know, in the 70s or something like that. It's that type of vibe, and that vibe is all over that area. And she's like, and that's what you fall in love with if you've been here long enough. Now, does it get hot? Yeah. Does it get cold? Yeah. You get all of it. But
yeah, I imagine that you feel like you are having perhaps the most authentic Texas experience when you're out there.
I think so. And again, I don't know what people think of. Maybe,
I mean, Fort Worth, Stockyards, all of that, but
that's kind of kitschy.
Yeah, like a rustic, rural.
This is real.
Yeah.
This isn't dress up, right? This is the wild ass West. And where, you know, we're out there playing golf at Lajitas and we're seeing multiple coyote and javelina and a trillion roadrunners and everything running around there. It's just, it's its own ecosystem that if you're not prepared for it, it'll waylay you pretty heavily on site. But, you know, again, you grow to love the area. And I love my time down there. You know, whether it's one weekend a year or multiple weekends a year, I love it more than anything that I do during the year. It's great.
What was Van's review?
He loved it. He had such a great time doing both, because he loves the golf side of it. And, dude, we got back. I was so beaten down after the park. Like, I mean, it was all day. We're up at 6 in the morning, heading out there, you know, under the stars. And then we return back late in the afternoon, and he's like, we got to go play golf. And I'm like, dude, I am so beat. And this is after barbecue, too, and I'm just like, I just need to rest and lay down. And sure enough, we go straight to the golf course right after that. And, I mean, by 8 o'clock at night, I am dead to rights. But it was, you know, it was his trip as much as it was, or more than my trip, really. And but, yeah, he had a great time. He had a really great time. But, yeah, if you see Sarah down there working the golf shop in Lajitas over the next couple of months, wish her good luck on her travels. It's a life that I could never again, that I was, like you, too scared to do.
Yeah, you create reasons why it would never work.
Right.
When all you have to do is just commit
do it.
To it. Just
yeah.
go.
And she talked about, like, also the amount of places that she's applied to in that world that you get turned down by, or there's something that you may see later on. They're like, no employee housing, something like that, you know, cheap housing that I can't do it, I can't afford it, and you move on to the next place. But there's always an opportunity anywhere in the United States if you're anyone. And, dude, there's some people that work at Lajitas that are, you know, doing those same types of things in their 30s and early 40s. Like, it's just a life. You don't have to be confined by what we've grown up thinking, what our parents told us, this is what you have to do. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You just don't.
Some people peel off the blinders.
I know.
And they see outside of what we are conditioned to see.
Right. And that you got to live in a big city and be a part of it. Dude, you don't have to do any of that. And I think that these people that understand that, they are so flippin' happy with their own choices. And no, you're not making tons of money and you're not saving tons of money, but that's not what it's about. It's just about the experiences. So, yeah, she was a fascinating cat for sure. And thank you so much for taking me and the boy to the park.